SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for football season.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
On Moneyline.
Show's hot.
Show is hot.
With your hosts, Donnie Wrightside.
13-10 because you can't move the football. And all of a sudden, like, hold on. How about if we put athletes on offense and spread it out? Oh, look at that. Track meets in the SEC now.
And Kevin Walsh.
I mean, Donnie, man, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions is on the board for this guy. Who else is doing that? Who else is? Nobody. Nobody's doing that.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
What an absolute massive week of sports here. And over the next hour, we are going to hit everything we possibly can on Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's what we do. And the reason I brought that up is the NFL slate looks very good. The college football slate finally starts to pop as if the season will actually begin. News and notes all over the place. And if anybody's not paying attention, Kevin, baseball is absolute madness right now.
It's genuinely too crazy for me to keep up in terms of Donnie the NL wildcard race. I mean, you could tell me that the entire National League, other than the Mets and Padres, are in that race right now, and I'd believe you.
Yeah, and I've been watching every single day. You have different mismatches. Like, if you go to, like, the Major League Baseball, I don't know, MLB.com, and they show you the brackets, they literally change every single day with different matchups, different teams playing each other. It's kind of wild to see it play. I thought the Phillies had a great win last night, 7-1, to sort of stop the bleeding, but not necessarily bleeding, but just to say, hey, look, we're not coming down here to Atlanta getting swept here, and all of a sudden we're sweating out a playoff race, which, granted, they still might lose the next two games of the series, but not looking forward to that. Also, like, the Reds out here still trying to get in. The Rangers absolutely dropping like a rock at the worst possible time. Huge comebacks by the yesterday by the Orioles. Late in that game, 3-run blast by Cedric Mullins puts them over the top. Houston fighting for their lives out in the AL West. It's so much fun. And we always get back to this, Kevin. Imagine being the guy going, like, man, baseball is so much better when everything is wrapped up September 4th. September 1st or 4th. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Like, it's the middle of football season with the biggest banger weekend, and you can still get down and have fun in baseball. That's rare.
It is. It's great. It's we've always been right about that. I think people have come to accept that, hopefully, when it comes to Major League Baseball. But look, I don't want to. What did you think of last night's the Monday night doubleheader? Any big takeaways from you?
To be honest, I told you before coming in, the concept is awesome. The execution was terrible with the teams they put on because you knew what you were sort of set up for. Now, the Steelers game did turn out to be quite, you know, like, hey, man, this is interesting. But I knew that slow as molasses game was going to take place there between the Carolina Panthers and New Orleans Saints. Yeah. You would get completed, and next week, the Philadelphia Eagles and Tampa, which is actually a really good football game. And I'm thinking more points than what the odds makers are actually saying. And also, they have, what's this? What's the second game next week is, Rams and the Bengals. Love that. I love the execution. I like two games on Monday night. In fact, Kevin, but the Eagles game starts 7:15 next Monday night. Man, who's commissioner? Me? Did I make myself commissioner there by putting the Eagles the early game? Love it.
I'm a little torn on that with the whole show thing going on. But we'll.
Oh, that's right.
We'll make do. I'll talk. We'll talk if you want any involvement behind the scenes. We'll figure that out. That's again your total call. But the one thing for me, is this is going to sound ridiculous, but I said the Steelers defense was overrated, and last night didn't change my opinion.
No,
they made some great plays, and two defensive touchdowns. You have to tip your cap, but Cleveland was able to move the football. Yeah, they just turned it over too much.
Chubb doesn't get hurt. That's .75 on that vaunted defense. After McCaffrey torched him as well. I hear you.
So for me, as someone, Donnie, who's got a piece of the Browns in the AFC market, and look, there's already a ton of value on a 35-1 ticket. What a missed opportunity to be one of three 2-0 teams to put Pittsburgh down there with Cincy down in an go-to yes. hole. They would have easily been slotted inside the top five odds in the conference underneath 10-1. That was a big whiff there. To win in Pittsburgh, Donnie, after winning against Cincinnati in week one, it was a big whiff for a Browns team that I think is going to be there. This Steelers team, I know that you said you just wanted the playoffs and maybe the back end is going to be available in the AFC, but I don't think that this Steelers team has any juice with what I've seen 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one to try to bring up, and I had me of the Steelers. Like, again, I didn't think they would win the Super Bowl, but I just needed them to get into the playoffs. I'm questioning sure. a lot of the stuff. Now, granted, it's nice, man. You have two high-priced outside linebackers that did damage last night, both of them scoring touchdowns, which is impressive. But as we said, if Nick Chubb doesn't get hurt, I don't think they lose that football game, and the Steelers are 0-2 going on the road to take on a Las Vegas team that they're still dogs to face and possibly be 0-3. Now, granted, they won, and that's what you're supposed to do. They got six sacks. The defense showed up in a big way that way, but I didn't come away from the game going, okay, Steelers season is ready to go. I came away looking at Cleveland going like, there goes your season, so good luck to Sean Watson with your 150 yards passing per game as if you're Justin Fields, and away we go into the season.
Yeah, Watson, you know, the final numbers ended up looking okay, Donnie. Jerome Ford pounded the rock in that game, ended up having a big night himself. Do you know, the obvious question now is, does this team get in the Jonathan Taylor sweepstakes, in your opinion?
No.
No?
Here's the problem. Nick Chubb, correct me if I'm wrong, is the highest paid running back in football. He gets injured. So you're going to go out and make the next guy the highest paid running back in football? How can you even afford that?
And this might be super naive of me, but if you're Jonathan Taylor, I don't really think your trade request right now can boil down to a new contract. Unless somewhere in your heart you think there's a chance the Colts give it to you, who cares? Like, Don, just get off of Indianapolis. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's better off getting paid the money he's getting paid now in Cleveland than getting paid the money he isn't playing for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, here's the thing that's hard to do, though, because, a team that's going to trade for Jonathan Taylor is not trading for him because they want him for 14 weeks. They're going to trade for him knowing, like, look, we're not going to give up, let's just say, first-round compensation for 14 weeks and agree not to tag you and you walk away. So I figure, like, whoever he's going to have to be like, you know what, he's our future running back. Yeah. We got to work something out that makes sense for both sides here, because he's not going to be like, hey, man, you know what? Awesome. Let me go to your team. And maybe he feels that way. But I'm telling you right now, like, let's just say he does go to Cleveland. Cleveland's like, you know, awesome. We give up a first-round pick next year after we gave up a boatload of picks to the Texans. And, oh, yeah, cool. You can leave at the end. We promise not to tag you. You can walk. That's not going to happen. He's going to have to go to a team that's going to give up a lot of compensation and pay him a lot of compensation.
I think the easy answer is probably Kareem Hunt, right? Available, knows the offense. Yep. Right? Like, that's got to be the play.
No future strings, and away you go at that point. And again, it's not as if we're saying, Kevin, like, wow, the missing piece of the puzzle for the Cleveland Browns to win the Super Bowl now is no longer Nick Chubb, but it'd be fine with Jonathan Taylor. And again, dollars have to make sense. You can't imagine having two of the highest, the two highest paid running backs in football on your roster, along with a $64 million a year quarterback starting next year. It just doesn't make sense or work out.
No, that's a totally fair point. On the other game, Frank Reich's in some trouble, and I don't know how much of it's his fault, but that team doesn't have the weapons, and it's going to be a long season in Carolina.
It is. And if anybody's saying, hey, what do you think about Bryce Young? He's a boss. Stop the madness. He's two games in against two tough situations. A rookie on the road and then a rookie coming home against a very good defense. And you're right. Adam Thielen's his top weapon, who got cut from the Minnesota Vikings. Stop it. We'll be okay. We'll be back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Oh, it's good, man. It's good. We're back at it. Sometimes we should have the off-the-cuff show. And by the way, you'll like this, K-Dub. So we're on the show this morning. And all I'm doing, like, I've got to tell you right now, we're talking WNBA. And all I kept saying was, like, B-A-T-R was hot over the weekend and just knocking Ben off his, like, off his balance. But also that I hit him with the, by the way, like, is that on Sports Grid Plus? Like, I mean, it was good time this morning. We're having a lot of good fun this morning. Like, hey, we have other channels that you can get
to.
What was going on Sunday. So we had a good pop out of that. Anytime, like, Ben's in full sentence and I can throw something in under my breath. Uh-huh. I know you used to get a kick at it because it stops you in your tracks. Like, what did he just say? And Ben was going a little bit off the rails on that one, which I got him pretty good on that one. BATR was pretty hot this weekend for the WNBAs that lined up. And by the way, if we would have played who she played for today, that would have been fun because Ben was bringing up names where didn't even know if they were NBA players or WNBA players. So that's how that segment went through all the way. But again, Brock is still hot here. And by the way, did you know this? And I know WNBA doesn't get a lot of run. Their playoff setup, maybe the worst I've ever seen, Kevin. Home team, first two games in their building. Game number three in the away team, lower seeded building. So if you split the first two, game number three in deciding is in the other team's building. Could have, like, the Aces won 2-0. The Liberty, yeah. I was joking to say, the Liberty lose the game tonight. They're playing for their lives on the road as the top seed. Amazing.
Get it done. I mean, that's basically get it done. I just assumed it was all three in the building of the favorite, of the higher seed. So that's very interesting that they break it up in that direction there.
Absolutely
tremendous. By the way, I promise this will be the, I'll drop the basketball after this, but did you see this like Dame mystery team stuff? Have you seen this at all?
Like Charlotte was involved or something like that?
I didn't see any word. Maybe you saw more so than I did. But apparently there's a mystery team out there.
I love this.
For Damian Lillard. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Now, see, I like that, too. Because then here's always my comment. Like, why isn't Miami the mystery team? Like, why did we let out that Miami even was in on them? Like, Dame could have said he wanted to go there. Miami could have just said, no. Never in our lives. And they could have been the mystery team. That always makes sense to me. Like, when it's like, hey, Shohei Ohtani. Watch out. He's looking at the Mets now. He's looking at the Dodgers and a mystery team. Why weren't the Dodgers and the Mets considered mystery teams and not let it out then? I always get a kick out of that. But yeah, the mystery team. Who is it? The Sixers? Come on now. Stop. Yeah. Knicks. I mean, you could say any. What, every team is the mystery team?
Yeah, no, it's so weird, man. Weird.
All right, let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Jordan from Phoenix calling in, ready to rock and roll and get it popping. What's up, Jordan?
What's going on, fellas?
Yo.
Nope.
I got a couple plays for you guys. I like Notre Dame plus three versus Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
What about Ole Miss on the money line versus Bama? Ooh. Going to Bama, going to get Bama two home losses this year. Then I like, let's see what I had. Utah. I like Utah at home too versus UCLA. So those are some games for the weekend, fellas. Pretty cool story. My cousin lives in Dallas, Texas. Unfortunately, he's a Cowboys fan. He asked me week five, they travel to the Bay Area to go play the Niners.
Wow.
I just copped some tickets and taking my cousin from Dallas. We're going to go check that out. I'll send y'all some pictures on Twitter. But you guys know the drill. Best show on the grid. Y'all have a great day.
My man,
that's
enjoy.
A banger game. That is I'm telling you, the good part about it is, if you want home field supremacy here, the Eagles are playing the Cowboys twice. The Eagles are playing the 49ers. The 49ers are playing the Eagles, and the 49ers are playing the Cowboys. A lot of stuff's going to get decided in that time, and that's good. That's a banger game. By the way, is that a Monday night or a primetime game? You would assume, right? Cowboys, 49ers? At least, you know, it's a 425, but man, I wouldn't be surprised if that's not prime time and it all the way up at that point. That's a good.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure it's got, like you said, a prime spot there. It is fascinating. You know, both the AFC and the NFC were supposed to have a big three. Obviously, more depth was expected in the AFC, but the big three for the NFC is 6-0, and in the AFC it's 2-4. It's a little interesting how that kind of season's started over there.
It is. All right. Now, how about this, Coach Prime? And the boys go into Oregon, 14.5, 15.5, 16.5, 17.5, 18.5, 19.5, 20.5, 21 points now. Three full touchdowns. Most people predicting that all good, fun games for Colorado is coming to an end. Give me a reason, because I know Dion doesn't go in front of him and say, hey, boys, we're going out to Altson. They're going to beat us. Let's just play well so we don't get embarrassed. He doesn't preach that on his team. He's telling his team right now, what? So what? We're going to Oregon. I expect to win the comeback, and that's the way it's going to be. Is there a pathway for them to win? Or we took 70.5 the total? Is it an over game? Like, what's the betting angle here?
Yeah, I mean, you would expect a full shootout there. I don't think we've seen anything truly from this Colorado defense, that suggested we should have a ton of faith in them. So But again, it's a lot of points. It's a lot of points, and we've seen that Colorado offense start slow at times here. The one thing I'll say is, I know it's not in the same circumstances, but this is about the same number they caught, Donnie, from TCU.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we haven't, it's like, who have they played? You know, they were favored by, you know, two touchdowns in all their games. Like, that's not been the case here for Colorado to start this season. The odd thing to handicap, though, Donnie, for me, is arguably their best football player is not playing in this game in Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how we... And what a shame, right? I mean, this kid, you know, probably a future first-round pick, and we don't get to watch him against Oregon and USC. Like, that is so, so frustrating.
What is frustrating? Say it again.
No, we don't get... Yeah, pay attention, pal. Bring it in here, all right? The fact that we don't get to watch Travis Hunter against USC and Oregon... Like, that's unfortunate.
But you know what is fortunate? We're going to get that game at noon. I mean, come on now. I mean, everybody's going to get to watch that game, including Travis Hunter at noon. He's not going to have to wait around all day long to watch that thing happen.
In.
That's morning action here. Good times out there in the Pac-12. Some good games in the Pac-12. But as Jordan also called in with Notre Dame, Ohio State this weekend, line plummeting, that opening number 7.5 down to, he said 3. So I saw a lot of 3.5s that were out there this morning. That's a great one. Also, Clemson catching points in Death Valley versus Florida State. And the interesting part about that is, you see how, like, Clemson started out the season. Terrible. They looked bad against Duke. They really did. It's like, oh, look at that. Florida State rolling, rolling, rolling. Florida State should have gotten beat last weekend, but they didn't. And that's sometimes all you need to do. Well, I'm at a loss for that game. Because coming into it, you figured FSU would be the marked favorite. Like, hey, man, I don't care where that game's at. That's 6 points there, and FSU will cover that. Get a little bit of cause for pause last week on that road game.
Yeah, it happens, though, right? Bad weather. BC gets up for the football game. FSU, little look-ahead spot.
What bad weather was out there?
Oh, it was supposed to be bad weather, right? I guess the weather ended up being fine. Was that,
yeah, it was nice.
Is that how it worked out?
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, I'm trying to make some excuses for my Florida State boys there. Weather, it was a torrential downpour as far as I could see it there. Nobody could score the football. But nevertheless.
By the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was, I thought, because I watched a lot of that game too. 18 penalties. Like, what are you? If you had 9 penalties, you beat Florida State. Even sometimes I just like to see, if I don't have a wager on the game or don't really care, give the team coming back a chance. They make that stop on third down. Flag comes out, like, ooh, that's holding your procedure. Like, that guy just grabbed your face mask and toted you to the ground 5 yards short of the first down. I wanted to see what Florida State was made of on that last drive, where BC could have kept coming, because their quarterback was balling out.
Yeah, I didn't have as much of an eye on that, but I know, you know, people were talking about that, and then all the penalties down for Colorado State. Here's the thing with the 200 yards of penalties that Colorado State racked up in that game. They deserved every single one of them. I mean, they were playing
it was
ridiculous
undisciplined
football.
Penalties, yes.
Yes, like, they're playing ridiculous football.
Just dumb.
Yeah, just unnecessary roughness, like every single possession. Like, it was, you know, completely wrong. It's interesting. Last week was kind of this, it was an almost upset week. We ended up not, you know, seeing any of these teams cross the finish line. I mean, I don't know what would have happened had Georgia lost. Like, Georgia goes right back to plus 200 to win the title. What information do we have, Donovan, that says Georgia deserves that price?
Yeah, nobody knows. By the way, good pop this morning, too. Dave Sherapin came on the early line, and I started talking about the college football show on a Saturday. Dave was like, yeah, you guys do a great job. I kept taking, like, I was like, thank you. Ben appreciated that. So. Oh, good times all the way around. But by the way, Rams Cam Akers, what is going on in Los Angeles, and why would anybody trade for him, including the Browns? We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, sir! Tuesday afternoon. It feels like the calm before the storm. Awesome weekend of football last week. So excited for this week coming up. Thursday night football, I don't know how exciting it's going to be, but I did make my eliminator pick already, Kevin, and it will be the San Francisco 49. This is the easiest eliminator first 3 weeks that I've ever been a part of, and I'm enjoying it. Why am I crazy for taking the Niner? The biggest advantage in football is a Thursday night home game. Now you're going to get a team back-to-back weeks on the road out on the West Coast. And by the way, did I assume The Giants did not come home. Is that right? Yes, so they said the smart move by them to stay out there. But and also, how about this? We go from, oh, my God, Saquon Barkley, oh, crying my soup and my coffee, I can't deal with this. Then it turns out, whew, all right, 3 weeks. Then Dable goes, like, yeah, by the way, he might be able to play this Thursday. What is going on out here? I have no idea what's going on with Barkley's ankle, where he admits it's a three-week injury, but he might play Thursday night. Good stuff there. Good gamesmanship.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like Dable's like, all right, we'll get him to prep for Saquon kind of option here. Mm-hmm. Here's why, okay, I say you're crazy while still, of course, expecting San Francisco to win that game, only because I would just rather not be involved with a Thursday game if I don't have to be. And I, like, the Niners are such a dominant team. You can't be like, oh, well, when am I going to use San Fran again? There are plenty of times you'd want to use San Fran. Wouldn't you feel much better about the Chicago fading the Bears with KC in their own building?
I mean, I get where you're coming from there, but if I try to use, you know, handicapping acumen for myself, I always say the biggest advantage in sports, not the NFL, in sports, is having a home football game on a Thursday night in the NFL. Three time zones away from the Giants, not going home, staying in hotels. Your best player is going to sit out. And I don't think the Giants are that good. That's just the way I look at it. If you tell me right now Daniel Jones stands in that pocket with no talent and beats the 49ers, I'll live with it. I really will.
Yeah, this is the thing about, you know, survivor pools, though, right? Is you start to kind of think the unthinkable. Like, honestly, like, ah, what do you... But here's my problem with it, Donnie. If I'm betting the side, I'm laying it with Kansas City, I'm taking the points with the Giants.
You know, I can see where you're saying that. I can see it. But I look at myself and say, look, I understand. Like, and also, would this have changed your opinion? The Giants didn't come back and win on Sunday? I'm like, man, the Giants just lost to Arizona and they're playing the 49ers?
Yeah, I actually wish they didn't come back and win, because we would be getting a bigger number with the Giants that are heading into this game than what we are. I fully expect the Giants to cover that game. Daniel Jones has been so good against the number in his career on the road. To swing him above double digits now, with Brian Dable, I expect them to oddly hang around in that football game. In a way, if they don't, you know, it's a big statement from the Niners. Like, no, we are going to crush every team we see this year. Like, we're on a completely, you know, different war path right now, which they might
be. One thing I do like about Daniel Jones this weekend, again, if we don't have Saquon Barkley and you have a devastating pass rush, usually leads to rushing props. So Daniel Jones, I think, is sitting
really
at like 35.5. It was 35
really?
And a half at Bet365. Yeah, FanDuel doesn't have it yet. 365 at 35.5 this morning for Daniel Jones.
I wonder what the thought process is there, Donnie. I mean, that's hardly higher than his number was against Arizona or the Giants. Hit the number against the Cowboys. Yep. Now, he only had one rushing yard, which was really interesting, against the Cardinals at half. Live prop was like 20.5. Obviously slaughtered that with a big second half rushing performance there.
Yep.
Very interesting that number isn't higher. Very interesting.
And also, and I know we're looking towards Thursday night in this, and it's never too early to take a peek. Christian McCaffrey's 82.5 rushing yards. If this was a normal 7-day week, I would say he would blow that to smithereens again, because he's an unbelievable player. But is there any caution? Like, because I saw one of the things where I think he was in on 100% of the snaps. Like the other running back, another running back, I think it was Elijah Mitchell, had 10 snaps. Somebody else had 0 snaps at running back. But I think Mitchell had the 2 snaps, as McCaffrey was still in the ball game. Yeah. Now, it's a Thursday night. Are we running him 25 times again? And also, where's the change of path from Kyle Shanahan going like, hey, man, let's not wear this guy out and go 50-50, which we all laughed at. Like, hey, man, you spent a lot of money on this guy. Let him eat. And now all of a sudden, I'm like going the opposite way, going like, look, I know you want to let him eat, but is this going to be smart to give him 300 touches before the playoffs?
Yeah, this is one of those, like, listen, CMC, pop the helmet off and enjoy the rest. Like, you know what I'm saying? He scored in each of his first two games, McCaffrey, as well, right?
But, like, 11 straight games he scored in overall.
He was on just FanDuel, Don. He was -110 to score against Pittsburgh. They jumped him to -230.
Oh, yeah, he was ridiculous.
Against the Rams.
I mean, he gets in first touchdown, yeah.
What is he against the Giants? Is he above -200?
Anytime touchdown market. 300, Kevin. Three,
yeah, ridiculous.
Three bills.
Can I just say, Like college, like Christian McCaffrey, Don, is minus 300, and it's like, wow, I've never seen a number that big. I mean, Blake Corum is minus 2,000
Judkins. What about Judkins?
Judkins.
Oh, actually, he's probably not that. Well. Yeah, he won't be that big of a one. He was the one that was opening up minus 900, minus 1,000. Who's minus 2,000, did you say?
Blake Corum, the Michigan running back.
Oh, my gosh. What is there, like a contract that he has to score every week?
No, he just does because they don't play anybody good. Yeah.
Man. I was joking. Like, hey, what's your top 10? Well, Michigan isn't in it. That's ridiculous. Yeah, but that's my penalty for them not even starting the football season yet. And again, who they have this week? Another like, 30-point game? Yeah, oh, that's right. Rutgers,
yeah,
that's right.
24.
Yeah, the reason why I don't remember that is because it doesn't come up on my odds board. Thank you,
yeah.
New Jersey, because I might imagine if I made a phone call to the quarterback because I'm in the state of New Jersey and it changed the whole game.
Yeah, hey, I'd like for you to struggle against the Michigan defense. You know what I mean? Like, what's the phone call going to be?
Yes, I need you to throw three interceptions, pal, not two of them that you were looking forward to this weekend, but with that low total overall. I mean, crazy.
Like,
craziness, Al. Again,
get benched.
Just like in the state. And also, like, if you are Rutgers on the outset, like people that don't know gambling, right? The old timers who basically were making the rules on, well, yeah, I mean, if you open up legalized gambling through PASPA, I mean, that's going to ruin everything. Yeah, congratulations. Everybody's making money. Industries are opening, and it's fantastic stuff all the way around. But for even like Rutgers to say, hold on, let's do a case study on this. If we can actually bet Rutgers football games, we can actually make more money here, which is more tax money, and we can have, you know, I don't know, the bars in the stadium with books, and we can take a percentage of that. I'm surprised they haven't opened up that window yet, because the fact of the matter is, the old school head is going like, well, you know, if it's New Jersey, you take the teams off, because then everybody would bet New Jersey, and Tony Soprano would come in and move lines on us. Stop the madness, man. They're losing out on money by doing that. Same thing like the Seton Hall runs and the, you know, the St. Peter's runs, like, hey, man, let's get involved. Yeah, you can't in New Jersey. Congratulations.
But also, I don't know, you know what? I'm not going to even say that. Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, you
are. I was going to say something I probably shouldn't even bother. So
oh, come
we'll
on.
Leave it
nobody's
at that.
Listening anyway. Say what you got to say.
Well, I'm just nobody saying, has. Like, Donnie, the people that would probably, like, be influencing stuff like that aren't betting on legalized sports books anyway, are they? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, I don't know. The whole thing's just ridiculous.
Yeah, like the guy that showed up in the college baseball. Like, hey, man, I want to bet college baseball. Cool, what do you got? I don't know, $1 million on Alabama baseball. Well, hold on now. We're making some phone calls here, and that guy gets arrested. And do you see what I mean? Like, outlandish. But somebody's just trying to, hey, by the way, I bet $500 on the game. I called the quarterback, told him I'd give him $50 if he throws the game. Yeah, that really works. Thanks, man. That's going to get the quarterback. You know what? I really needed, like, Chipotle Monday and Tuesday. Thanks for the $50 at that point. But that's neither here nor there. I am looking forward overall this weekend to the football slate. But by the, if you had one game, like, you get done college football today.
Oh,
you get one game
answer
to watch. What are we doing here? Notre Dame at night?
Yeah. No, it's the biggest.
You might be driving back to the city for this one.
I've thought about it, but we're busy Sunday. It's such a big game, Donnie, because with the win, Notre Dame has been in the college football playoff.
Yes.
But listen, it's hard to believe that they can actually win the college football playoff because the top of the sport is so dominant. But we haven't seen that type of dominance from the top of the sport. And a win against Ohio State, like, you can make an argument that Notre Dame has looked like the best team in college football, but they haven't played anybody yet. That's college football. They played Navy.
No,
they
what happens if we still had Buckner? What happens if Notre Dame had Buckner as their starting quarterback this year?
Yeah, I mean, they'd be one of those lowly programs like Alabama football. That went exactly how I thought it was going to go anyway. But look, with Sam Hartman there, this Notre Dame team with a win against Ohio State, Donnie, you start to say, all right, you know what? I think they're going to make the college football playoff. That would become the expectations for this team now.
We're going to get to the phone lines in a second, but let me ask you this quick question I asked Ben this morning. Who can afford the loss and still make the playoff? Which team this weekend? Not get in that game. Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Ohio State could afford it more, I would say.
I don't know, man. Notre Dame's such a power player. I think they can lose three games, and they somehow try to shoehorn them in over, like, a one-loss, like, Big 12 team.
No, Don, because they had that chance, and they put Cincinnati in front of them. That's not true at all. No, Ohio State got in last year without winning their conference. What are you talking about?
Notre Dame, man. Notre Dame has some whack clause that goes, unless they have five losses, they can't be actually taken out of the college football playoff. Let's get to the phone lines here. Red Tail calling from the great state of West Virginia, right here on Moneyline on a Tuesday. What's up, Red Tail?
Best host on the radio here, guys. Again.
Love it.
What's up, man?
I miss your guys' extra hour, but that's my problem. I've referenced it before, and you guys have talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they not offer the opposite side, like, guy will score a touchdown, minus 300. Why not have a no?
Yep. Tell them, Kev.
Yeah, because they don't want to give us true odds on the yes. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Because the reason they don't offer you the no is so they don't have to give you real odds on the yes. It's a shame, but it's true. It's pretty obvious. It is,
and it is a shame. Yeah, minus 2,000. Give me the plus 800 for the guy not to score.
Yeah,
that twisted ankle on drive number one. My goodness, that would be crazy. And how come FanDuel didn't void one of my season-long wagers with Nick Chubb in a parlay here? Waiting for that to happen, too. How about that? We'll be right back after these words. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
2-pay a running back, Kevin, or not to pay a running back is the question here. Running backs holding out like Jonathan Taylor, good for him because, like, hey, look at this. Everybody's getting injured. You figure everybody wants a running back, but the opposite side of that argument is we're not trading for you. Why would we pay you a lot of money when every running back seems to get injured anyway? Which brings me back to Cam Akers. Looked like a future rock star for the Rams. Can't even get on the field looking to make a move, and possibly, we're hearing now, it will be Cleveland. Let's keep it on the running backs now. To pay, or, and by the way, you paid Saquon Barkley a lot of money. He gets injured, but it looks like hopefully it's going to be shorter term than longer term. You paid Jacobs a lot of money out for the Raiders. Dude's rushed for like 2 yards a game, it feels like. You have Nick Chubb, the highest paid running back in the game. Who knows if he's going to play another game in his career? Tough, tough couple weeks for running backs.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, they suffer injuries, they get hit a bunch, and they do feel somewhat replaceable, right? I mean, you know, the idea that they bring in Cam Akers, and I guess real football is not fantasy football. Cam Akers isn't as good as Nick Chubb, but all anybody's going to do is try and add Cam Akers now and see how he slots in. Nick Chubb is great. The idea that Nick Chubb is more important to that team than Deshaun Watson is inaccurate. They need Watson to be better. It's the reason why running backs haven't been paid. Man, they showed this on one of those broadcasts, Donnie, but basically, like, the highest paid quarterback, like, in the 90s, was making only a couple dollars more than the highest paid running back.
True. That's correct.
Well, here's the deal. They don't play in the same league. That's
evolution.
All. Things changed. Who's the best running back in the league? How does he stack up to the seventh best quarterback in the league in terms of value? You know, if the Niners right now could choose, Donnie, Brock Purdy and CMC, or Dak and Tony Pollard, they'd bring Dak in a heartbeat. CMC's way better than Tony Pollard. CMC's probably the best running back in football. But the quarterback position is what makes the difference, right? And I just think that this is one of those things where, it's unfortunate. What I think is unfortunate, Donnie, is not like that they don't get record-breaking contracts. It's that the system is set up where it's almost impossible for them to get that second contract. Because you go in that round one, you're basically under control for 5 years. And by the time you hit the market, they're like, kind of washed here. Kind of washed.
Yes. Yeah, why don't you come over to our three-back motion? We'll pay you $1 million plus incentives once you get into the door. But, I mean, the running back position is wild. You do need running backs. Everybody understands that. But I take a look at it and say to myself, also, if the running back position and injuries aren't good, because some people say, that's why you got to pay running backs to get injured so much. No, it's the opposite. That's why you don't pay running backs, because they get injured so much. But the precedent for signing your quarterback to fully guaranteed money, which might end any chance, like, hear me out on this. If Deshaun Watson got his $225 million, $230 million fully guaranteed, and I mean he balled out, And it's like, you know what? It might be worth that risk. Keep the quarterback happy. That's the new market now. You got to pay your quarterback $250 million plus, fully guaranteed. But you say, you know what? There's a precedent for a guy getting paid like that and playing well. Deshaun Watson's playing like a top 25 quarterback, not a top 5 quarterback at this point. Right. Boy, all the money you paid him. He is supposed to be like, I don't care who's on my football team. I will ball out the way he was doing it in Houston. He looks so far from that player and running out of excuses now, Kevin. Oh, well, he had suspension. Oh, well, he didn't have this. And game number one was in the rain. Stop it.
So there's one more excuse, but potentially real thing. And that's Kevin Stefanski being fired. And I think Stefanski could get fired even if they make the playoffs, quite honestly. Now, if they win a playoff game, maybe not, right? But again, that means that probably Watson's playing better football. Because, Donovan, when we try and go through it, you know, with Deshaun, he missed a lot of football, man, right? I mean, it was over
like 3 years, it felt like.
It really did. Yes. So, you know, kind of coming back and figuring out is obviously not the easiest thing in the world. This team has some solid pass catchers, though. It's not the greatest wide receiver room we've ever seen. Really solid offensive line. They did miss Conklin in that game against Pittsburgh. Obviously, they missed Conklin. We saw that play a big factor with their ability to get to Watson. But he's moving well, Donnie, right? We're seeing Watson, you know, scramble quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Again, the final statistics actually don't look all that bad. He ended up passing for 235 in that game, threw the ball 40 times. So that kind of started to balance out a little bit here. We're early into this season. You know, I am not entirely sold yet that Deshaun Watson doesn't have top 12 quarterback play in him. I don't know if we're ever going to get Watson top 5 again, but Watson being, you know, an above average starter is still something I think is on the board.
Yeah, it is. And how about this? Let's keep it in the quarterback realm here. 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Tua Tagovailoa is going to take the field. I don't even want to talk about Tua. Leader in the clubhouse at FanDuel right now for the MVP. And after 2 weeks, rightfully, if they had the award out after 2 weeks, he would win it here. I'm looking on the other side of the field, Russell Wilson. I'm not saying it's his fault. I don't think he played particularly poorly on Sunday. Got some statistics padded on that 50-yard touchdown pass to end the game. Is Denver really going to open 0-3? It looks like it. I don't expect them to go down to beat Miami. And where does that leave Russ out there in the streets, as I like to say, with Sean Payton?
So, Russ is interesting, Donnie, but if you look at his stat line, to some degree a little fluky, I gotcha. You see his stat line in that game against Washington? I mean, it's brilliant. Over 9 yards per attempt, right? What was it, 3 passing touchdowns, 300 yards? Donnie, they scored 35 points in the football game. I know it's easy to point at Russ. Donnie, you know this, though. I've talked to you enough about this. If you lose 21-3, do we point at the coach? Do we point at the quarterback? We usually point at the coach. Sean Payton took that year off, too. And it's not looked good yet. Donnie, they had a halftime lead against the Vegas Raiders. He's getting outcoached by Josh McDaniels. That team should be 2-0. And they're 0-2. And again, I don't think Russ is ever, like we talk about, can Watson get back to his level? Maybe. Russ is never going to be. Russ at one point had an argument for the best quarterback in this league, right? And certainly was a top 5 quarterback in this league. But Donnie, right now, I'm looking at a coach that keeps throwing touchdown leads in Sean Payton. It's got to be. Donnie, it just is. Yes.
Home.
Denver is impossible to win in, by the way, in September usually.
I think half the reason why Sean Payton took the job was because he saw the schedule. Like, hold on. I get Denver. I get Washington at home. Uh-huh. And I get the Vegas Raiders at home to start the season. I'm going to be 2-0. They might buy me a brand new house here if I start 2-0 and away we go into the season.
Yep.
Now they're 100%. Probably going to be 0-3. Now, I hate to get sidetracked on stuff, but it does deal with football here. And thank you, Gabriel Morenci here. I just saw a tweet come from him, which he retweeted. The new scoop is the XFL and the USFL are in merger talks. So you take one horrendous league with another horrendous league, and you combine into one big horrendous league that will still lose money. I don't want to say I root for things to fail, but when I use my common sense and say nobody likes NFL football or professional football, I should say, outside the NFL, it has never worked. Why do they keep thinking it's good? Is it because we're in the cord-cutting age where everybody needs content and somebody's going to buy the product? The football product stinks out loud. It's boring as all get out, and it's after football season. Why do they keep doing this, and why would they even merge? Oh, it's driving me nuts.
I know you do want them to fail.
I do, okay? Because it's one of my passions. Like, nobody loves football as much as me in my entire lifetime. And you say, Don, look at this, another football league you can actually bet on. That I'd rather watch paint dry. It's so bad. And I can't for the life of me figure out why people that have made billions of dollars continue to lose millions on this.
What I will say, genuine, right, is I've offered up what I think is, and I know it's crazy that I think I have a solution that somehow none of these billionaires can come up with, but it is not on at the right time. We are not looking for football in April. They just don't get it.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
But also
Wednesday nights.
You can hate both, Donnie, and I know for you this isn't gonna help, but merging is obviously the right decision. It's obviously the right decision. Donnie, why would you have two failing products where one of the main complaints is the quality of the league? I mean, how thin can we make this, right? Let's get together here. Let's get our absolute best all out there on the field. Do you know what I mean? That is the right decision to merge here. To give them, because, Donnie, there aren't 32 good quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now we're trying to add an additional how many between an XFL and a USFL? Or maybe the fact there's not enough teams. Like, who wants to get, like, Donnie, it's a little tough sometimes when there's only like an 8-team league, right? It helps when you can pack the slate, right? So I think merging is absolutely the right decision for them. Will it work? I don't know. It's got a better chance of working, though, than the current iteration.
I mean, hear me out on this, Kevin. I don't even know which one of the leagues it was. I'm going to say it was the USFL. They had teams from like 8 different cities, never playing in their city, and playing in one spot as if it was like a TV, like backdrop / like lot that you would just
like
play
studio
on.
Studio wrestling.
Correct. I mean, I can't even believe for the life, like, hey, by the way, root on your Philadelphia Stars or wherever it is. Oh, where are they playing at? Oh, they're in like Canton or they're in Memphis. I can't figure it out for me, but I see that stuff and I say, I laugh because I always say it's got to be a Ponzi scheme. These guys make so much money that they need a write-off, and they can exacerbate that write-off to the millionth degree, and that's how they like these products. Knowing fully well it's going to fail but be more profitable because of the other things they have going on. That's the only thing I can surmise. If I kept telling, hey, man, I got a great idea for you. It's failed 30 times, but I think 31's going to be, oh, great, how much money do you need? Oh, $500 million? Yeah, I'm in. Let's go.
I know. Cool. I know. What bothers me is there no one in the room that has said that, hey, what if we go up against Maction? Like, has no one in the room considered that plan?
It's a bad business strategy.
I just feel like, yeah, like they're feared of getting ran off by Maction. That can't, are guys that are supposed to be filling out their roster currently on NFL practice squads? And that's why they're like, oh, no. Like, we need these
guys.
That's
a good point.
I didn't think
about that until you just said it. That's a very good point, because you also are taking a look at, yes, these guys have, they're not playing because, hey, you know what, man, my dream is to play for the USFL for like $60,000. Like, no, their dream is to make it to the top, which is the NFL, where you're making like $25,000 a week on a practice squad in the NFL. That's a good point, though, because it's almost like saying, like, hey, would I rather be playing football or be on a practice squad? The only way that it would ever work, and the NFL would never do this because they don't, it's not considered a threat. They don't want to help them. They say, why don't the NFL just lend them practice players? They understand how stupid that is business-wise for the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then say, hey, man, well, the USFL is gaining traction. And, oh, yeah, now just like back in the Donald Trump USFL days, let's go toe-to-toe with the NFL and see if we can take them down. They don't want that anymore. They have a monopoly. They're never going to help these minor leagues out, ever.
It doesn't make sense to, like you said, right?
You're right.
And again, it's a sport riddled with injury. Like, how often are those practice squad guys, you know, impactful? Maybe marginal, but
even all season, what are you playing football 12 months out of the year? Like, how do these guys expect to even make it into the NFL? Hey, by the way, how did you do? Yeah, I just played 14 games. Welcome to training camp next week now in the NFL. That's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But again, I guess financially, it's probably what they need to do, Donnie.
Yeah. I mean, it's why you never see, like, you know what I mean, AEW, WWE. I'm telling you right now, look, I want to be commissioner of wrestling now, so I never asked for this before.
Wow, this is a new one.
Yeah, you tell me right now. I start the hype in 6 months. We have every Ring of Honor, every independent major wrestling, you know, function and the WWE, and you just have one pay-per-view where they just go at it. I mean, what are we talking about? We can all retire.
Yeah,
you don't have to sell
to
the Saudis there, Vince. I'll tell you next. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here. One final segment before we get out of here for the day. Huge football week. A lot of fun. Tonight, Major League Baseball. I did bet a little bit yesterday. I actually didn't tweet them out, but I lost money yesterday in RBI props. I tied a lot of those to Seattle. Now, I went 1-2, so I really didn't lose too much money. I actually bet 4 props. Cal Raleigh didn't play last night, so I got a void bet out of that. Lost 2 of them, and I hit Eugenio Suarez. So it wasn't too bad. But tonight, if I'm looking at one play, gave it out on TEL this morning. Kyle Seager tonight. Absolutely on fire against right-handed pitchers. He's going against a bad one tonight. 2 hits tonight. It's a plus 160. And RBI, I believe, on the FanDuel is like plus 110. So it's probably like plus 135 or 140. I haven't checked it yet on Bet365. He should go nuts tonight. Like, Seager should have a monster night. And my goodness, do the Rangers need that going up. I think it's Tanner Houck of the Boston Red Sox. They shouldn't have lost last night. Wasted a Montgomery start. They'll bounce back tonight. But Seager going to be front line. Anything tonight? WNBA action? Like, where are you going tonight on your action tonight?
Well, we've got JY coming in to do the WNBA with us. He was great. What are you doing?
I don't know. Yeah, there you go. Like that. See, I get to pop in the room, man, out of nowhere. Look at that.
You interrupted my own talking with my own laugh.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But we'll do the whole baseball. We'll go over it all, man. We'll go over it all.
What are we talking about with Jay Weezy tonight? WNBA, yeah. Where it fits in? Any upsets?
Yeah, we'll go through the WNBA card. He was great on Friday. I think he went 4-0 on 4 picks. So
did he get Asia out?
He's locked in.
Asia was just rocking over the weekend, man.
I saw a stat, Donnie. Did you see this? I don't know if he saw it. She scored more points in the paint than the Chicago Sky as a whole team in that game. That doesn't even make sense, honestly. But
yeah, two teams on a collision course.
I hope we do get that, though. I hope we do get that actual collision course and there isn't an upset.
Now, word on the street is we might have to have another host on the football show because BATR might have to make an appearance on a Sunday for the WNBA. Any truth to that?
None.
No truth to that. Truth is, JP's behind the wheels of steel, making us look good today. Donnie Wright setting Kevin Walsh. This is Moneyline. Solo mission DRS tomorrow. Don't miss it. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.